Help keep your transmission running trouble-free for years to come. Get annual transmission flushes at AAMCO for a one-time fee of just $99.95 with AAMCO's Power Purge Lifetime Maintenance. Call 800-GO-AAMCO and visit AAMCOfirst.com.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, before we talk to Sonny Grasso, a word from our sponsor.
Some interesting men at this party. Oh, Marlboro men. No wonder. Like to be introduced? Liz, let me introduce you to some real men. You mean Marlboro men?
Yeah. You like Marlboro?
Sure. After all, it's a cigarette designed for men that women like. Why don't you smoke Marlboro?
The Don and Mike Show. Thank you.
Simply Cow Teats. The Don and Mike Show.
That was just a commercial for Marlboro.
I love Marlboro, man.
Now, let me see. The great Sonny Grosso's on the phone. Real-life New York City cop. I think we mentioned featured a French Connection. We were talking about that movie yesterday.
What a great movie that was.
Independent of this guy. We were talking about the French Connection yesterday.
Right.
As I mentioned, he's got a new show on A&E starring Donnie Wahlberg. Starts on Monday night. It's about the mob in Miami. And here he is right now. Tough guy, Sonny Grosso. Hey, Sonny.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, hi, Sonny. How are you?
How are you?
How are you?
We are fine. How are you? Thanks for being on the show. It's a weird coincidence that we have you on today to promote your new A&E show. We were discussing the French Connection yesterday or the day before. We were talking about Gene Hackman movies, and the character of Roy Schneider was based on you, right?
Right.
Right.
And I just tell you a funny thing that you'd say. I just got a call from Billy Friedkin about an hour ago, who directed that movie, and he told me that there was some chase. I don't know where the hell it was. Maybe it was in L.A., and this chase ensued after the cops had made a stop and made an arrest, and the guy took their gun or whatever it is and jumped into a car and commandeered a car, and they chased him. And this thing went on for a little while, and this is a while back, and then they caught the guy, and either the guy was shot or hurt, so he sued the police department and whatever, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And Scalia said the other day when they were making a ruling on this thing, he said, "My God, that chase must have been as fantastic as the French Connection."
Oh, there you go.
So Billy said, "We've reached the Supreme Court now." You know.
And were you a consultant on the French Connection?
Yeah.
I mean, did you help them out
also,
as far as that all that heroin trafficking stuff that you busted back then?
Yeah, and I was also in it. I had a part, not as big as Eddie's, who played the lieutenant, but I played an FBI agent named Phil Klein. But I had, Billy gave us a break because if you can fathom this, that for my own life story, there was $300 in the budget for a technical advisor. So Eddie and I got $150 apiece.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. It really is.
But they gave us a run of the picture contracts, which from the moment the Teamsters picked up the trucks till they parked them, Eddie and I were on. So we did okay. You know?
Oh, that's great.
You did okay. After the French Connection, what type of a career did you have with TV and with movies as far as being a consultant to what really goes down in the world of good guys and bad guys?
Well, the very next day, on the last day of shooting underneath the Triborough Bridge, Billy tells me, jump in the car, and he has the teams to take us over to 126th Street and 2nd Avenue, where Filmways used to have a studio. And we walk inside, and they're building the interior of the Godfather set.
Oh, my God.
So he introduces me to Francis, and he says to Francis, I had 100 cops in the French Connection, friends of mine, that to this day, their kids and their families get such a thrill being part of a movie that won 5 Academy Awards and was nominated for 8. And so he told Francis, you couldn't make a movie in New York without Grasso's Gorillas, and that was the cops. We drove cars, we did crowd control, they acted, and we convinced Billy we knew how to say something other than pull over and give me your license and registration.
And I think it's really important that you don't get as much of that today as you did back then. If you really want to see the way it was and the way cops were, you look at the French Connection. And, I mean, that's one of the things the movie gets accolades for, is that it just is so accurate. It's such an accurate depiction of a New York City cop.
Well, you know, we took Billy out for about 3 weeks. Then we took Hackman and Scheider out for about 3 weeks after that. So all of the things that you see in the movie, we actually did. And, you know, there's two black bar scenes in the movie. And one bar, we went to Phoenix House to all the people that Eddie and I had some interaction with as far as
some
locking
interaction
them up.
With.
Yeah, and we put them in one bar scene. They all agreed to do it. And the other bar scene was all black cops and detectives and police woman. So I had a lot of fun, you know, with that and sharing it with all the cops. And we had a good time in 16 degree weather. But, you know, Billy's a genius. And right after that, he went on to do The Exorcist. So
yeah, I was going to say William Friedkin directed The Exorcist as
right.
well. Right.
To Live and Die in L.A. and The Brinks Job.
I didn't know he did To Live and Die in L.A.
Yeah,
that's cool.
He did To Live and Die in L.A. too.
And is this true? Someone just handed me a note. Did you produce some episodes of Pee-wee's Playhouse?
Yeah.
How do you go from The French Connection to Pee-wee's Playhouse? And what episodes did you produce of that?
I would rather see you in person and tell you about that.
You know? Okay. All right.
Oh, that's funny.
Fair enough. All right.
We are Pee-wee fans, though. We really
everybody
are.
Everybody who knows the business asks me about that.
Well, it's surprising because you think of you think of French Connection, all the other stuff. What a resume. The Godfather.
Right.
Did you work on Godfather 2?
No. Godfather 2 came out of Egan's very fertile mind. None of that ever happened. But, I mean, and if I wanted to be involved in that, I had to go to Marseille for 16 weeks. And at that time, having almost never flown before except in the service, I wasn't about to go. But, you know, it's been great to me. And, look, you and I are talking on the phone. And even though you said and your fellow John said he appreciates me coming on, the real thing about you guys having me come on the show is that I just read the post, today's post, and Linda Stasi gave the movie 4 stars, which is like, you know, which is so exciting to me as a producer. But unless I get to talk to people like you who have this vast audience, who's going to find this on A&E? Who's going to go surfing around till they find it? So it takes shows like yours and other people's, and that's what I've been trying to do and get the actors to do, so you can get the word out to come and see this movie.
Well,
so
let's talk about it then, because I'm a fan of Donnie Wahlberg and Marky Mark. Sometimes they're interchangeable, the two of them.
They're both really talented actors.
They're very good actors.
Do you go back to when he was in New Kids on the Block?
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course we do. How did you end up with Donnie Wahlberg, and what bad guy does he play in this show, which airs Monday night on A&E?
In fact, Donnie doesn't play a bad guy.
Oh, he's a cop.
Yep.
Okay.
Jason Gidrick, who's marvelous as the nightclub owner who was partners with, Ingrid Caceres, who was Madonna's girlfriend or whatever she was. And between having Madonna in the club and Versace and his sister and all the ball players and everything, it transcribed, it turned South Beach into a place where even the people in the city government there built the place up, and really it became a really glorious spot to be. But, you know, whatever this guy had going for him back in Staten Island before he moved down there catches up with him.
Sonny, I want to interrupt you here, because this is taking place. What this movie, and give us all the information on this, takes place what time frame?
Takes place in the mid-90s.
Okay.
And it takes place in South Beach. And we did all the exteriors in South Beach and all the interiors in Puerto Rico. And, a lot of nice music. And, you know, look, the way things are getting in this world, you know, besides them having the Sopranos on their network now. So, listen, Sonny Grasso, that's me from the French Connection. Phil Ramone, who did all the Sinatra's duets albums, does all of Billy Joel's music, and Streisand, and just did the music with the record with Tony Bennett, the duets album. Phil does the music for this. And Nick Pileggi, who wrote Casino.
Oh, yeah.
He did the screenplay. So,
oh, wow.
You know, where else can you get three Italians to have this kind of success?
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned Nick Pileggi, because after the movie came out,
right,
I got the book, and it's one of those things where you read the book after you've seen the movie, and you realize how true to the book the movie really was.
Right.
Can you give us, I'm sorry, I kind of stopped the entire thing there.
No, but I mean, Nick Pileggi stops us because, I mean, that's such a, that's
we
a
recognize
heavyweight.
The name. Yeah. Can you tell us the basic premise? You mentioned it's a guy who comes from New York down to South Beach and
during the glory, the early glory days of South Beach.
And yeah, he's a real handsome guy and a hard-nosed guy in the sense that, you know, if I go to a restaurant up here called Rayo's, and years ago when I was a young kid in East Harlem, I lived around the corner from Rayo's. The guy who owned the restaurant was partners with Dutch Schultz in the numbers business. Well, that's long time gone, but the people still come up to Rayo's just for the hint of something happening. And I happened to be in Rayo's when a guy shot somebody in there, and I caught the guy. So I thought that the whole thing would disappear and people would not want to bring their families up there. The sauce that they sell tripled, and the request for admission into the place quadrupled. So I really scratched my head about all of us in this world, or what we respect.
Nothing like a good murder to improve business.
Well,
right?
That's it. And this guy here was a real knocker.
Think about it, Mike.
Guy, and he had people come in, you know, that people knew from the neighborhood. And so it got to be the place
nice
to
look
be.
Around
and then
cafe.
Being with this Ingrid, whose father was a multimillionaire, and Madonna coming there, they wound up having everybody in sports, and he was made Man of the Year. And, you know, guys, instead of accepting what they got, they get a little greedy, and little by little, you know, by the time this movie ends, you don't want to see it happen to Jason, because the girls in my office fell in love with him. But little by little, that greed and that lust for power and wealth and everything, you know, kind of destroys him. You know what I mean?
Well, South Beach, I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, it's so hot right now still, you know.
How much can you get away with on A&E? Were you worried about the constraints? Like, I know what you mentioned The Sopranos. They edit down The Sopranos, and I'm not just talking about profanity. I'm talking about the use of violence, which is necessary, and stuff like this. How much of a constraint was that?
Well, no, I mean, they were pretty good about that, and we would discuss different things, but they were pretty good, you know, much more lenient than some of the major networks. Although, listen, I'm listening to the major networks, and I'm hearing them say things and do things that I just watched an episode of Dirt last night, and what happened at the end of that thing was made my hair stand up. And,
I heard that said. That pushes the envelope a little bit.
Yeah. So to me, you know, everybody's coming, you know, around. And I don't mean, look, I still go for the curtain blowing out the window. You know what I mean? And the water flashing up on the beach like they did with Deborah Kerr and Burt Lancaster.
Right, right.
So I'm not into, you know, or if I had my preference, I would still try to keep it up to your imagination. You know what I mean?
But the crooked cop in The Godfather, when he's eating the spaghetti and he gets it in the head, you know, as far as violence goes, I think that's good for the story. I think I'll never forget that scene.
You mean Mo Green?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's Mo Green. That's a good one. But I think when Michael, maybe it was Godfather 2 instead of Godfather 1.
Yeah.
When Michael walks in and shoots the crooked police commissioner, the chief of police.
No, you want to know something? You want to hear something about that?
I sure do.
I set that scene up with Coppola. And
that's an amazing scene as far as like a murder scene on film. Yeah. I think it's one of the best.
Well, it was real because I handled a couple of cases like that where the guy was shot out in Brooklyn when they found him with the cigar in his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And now it turns out that somebody's saying the detective put the cigar in his mouth. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I set that thing up, and then the props guy came over to Francis and said, what kind of a gun you want to use? So he said, well, why don't we use Sonny's? So he looked at me and he said, do you mind? I said, you kidding? No. Oh, yeah. I said, that'd be great. So now he tells me that the gun is worth $75,000 on eBay. You know
so
I mean?
That is your gun that Al Pacino uses in that scene.
Gun. That's exactly right.
Man, I'm so glad I brought it up.
We've discussed The Godfather so many times. Right. I think the greatest killing scene in there is James Caan when he's at the toll.
That's pretty famous.
When he's at the toll booth.
I was one of the guys that shot him at the toll booth.
Oh, you're kidding. You're not the guy that kicks him, are you?
No.
Wow, that's amazing.
I want to tell you a little story.
Please do.
Every night, we'd go over what was going to happen the next day if it involved cops and if it involved wise guys, you know? And so he gives me this piece that we're going to do. That's the thing. We built that in Long Island. That whole thing was built. We built toll booths, and we built that little bit of highway that he drives up to. So I look it over, before he went home, he said, well, what'd you think? I said, well, you know, to tell you the truth, you're the director, but as far as I'm concerned, you got five guys shooting 45s at Jimmy Kahn. Not only wouldn't you find Jimmy Kahn, you wouldn't find the car he drove up in. So he said, let me think about that, you know, and he went home. So the next day I'm getting my hair cut because it was 1940, and I'm sitting in a chair, and he comes over, and he's got coffee and a donut, and I get up with the sheet around me, you know, and he gives me the coffee and everything. He said, look, I thought about what you said, and he said, you know, I know you guys are the expert in firearms, and, you know, I took that as a compliment, but most cops don't even know what's going on with their own gun, you know what I mean?
So you switch from the 45s to the machine guns, right?
Yeah, so I said, that and he said, look, I thought about what you said, and I know you're an expert. And he says, but listen, you can't kill a big, big person like Jimmy Kahn is in this movie just with a 38 or just with a knife, or you got to kill him bigger than life. And I remember I walked away from that guy, and I did a radio show like this, and the guy said, well, what were you thinking as you walked away from Coppola? I was doing a television show, not a radio show. And I says, well, I don't think anybody's ever going to hear from this guy doing this kind of a scene. And he cut from that, too. And now the winner of the Academy Award. So I learned that it isn't about teaching people. That could be down the line. Education is not what I'm there for.
Right.
You know, I'm there to entertain people.
Absolutely.
If I'm going to be in this business. The one thing this movie does is entertain the hell out of you. Beautiful music that Phil Ramone and Rob Mouncey, who worked on the music with him. He does all the music for Sex in the City. And so you got great music, you got beautiful, beautiful girls, and you got two of the best actors I ever worked with as a team. And I worked with Scheider, and I worked on The Godfather, and I wrote a movie called The Seven Ups. I remember that movie. Yeah, Scheider played me in that movie again, you know.
All right. Well, the great Sonny Grasso, the TV show is called, the movie is on A&E, it's called The Kings of South Beach, Monday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central on A&E.
And I want to just leave you one thought. A guy just came in here and told me that because, you know, we work hard, and we're right in the middle of income tax, right?
Yeah.
So if you put the word the and IRS together, what do you get?
T-H.
Write it down.
T-H-E.
Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs. That's right, because everything we make goes to them.
There you go. That's right. There we
Thank you, Sonny. It's always nice having a friend of ours on the show.
Sonny, okay. Thank you very much.
Ciao.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Ciao.
Man, oh man,
what a guy!
You know, you throw this stuff out. I knew he was part of The Godfather, but I had no idea he was part of those scenes. That's great. That's fun. I'm gonna look forward to watching this.
I'm glad that came up because you were right about the Pacino scene, but I was right too about the James Caan scene.
Your scene, I think, is widely considered. That is probably the most famous death scene in film. I mean, really,
it's the best. But how great! Yeah, I was there with the gun. I'm one of the guys that shot Jimmy. Yeah.
So what he's saying is, if they did it the way they did it with those machine guns, there wouldn't be anything
pop guns.
He's saying that. That the way they were shooting him with those Tommy guns, there wouldn't be anything left of the car, much less James Caan. I think that's what he was saying.
I thought he was saying
it would be more believable if you took him and you shot him with with a 38 or something like that, because he'd be kind of chopped up
I always get confused with the caliber of a gun.
Yeah,
you know, just like so Francis Ford Coppola wanted him to use a smaller gun, and he had them
No, Grasso, Sonny Grasso wanted him to be more realistic. He said they wouldn't shoot him like that. Right. But Francis Ford Coppola said to Sonny Grasso, no, he's a big character. We got to make this bigger than life.
Big
and
gun.
He turned out to be very, very correct in that.
Yeah. I'm glad your half of the brain figured that out for me.
Yeah, well, the other part was removed.
Thank you, Mike.
That's fun. That's a lot of fun talking to that guy.
Anyway, let's plug that show again. The Kings of South Beach, Monday night, A&E, 9 o'clock.
Check he it sold out. It to at the end. Beautiful girls, good music.
Good music, good stars.
Yeah, watch it, guys. Watch it or I'll lock you up.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, even though he was a good guy, he was a cop.
He was a cop.
He sure does sound like a mobbed up guy, doesn't he?
Well, back in the day, there was there was a real fine line between.
Fine line, Mike.
Yes, but you know, he's still with us and still making movies, thank God. We haven't done that in a long time. Because the Sopranos haven't been on. We haven't had a chance.
No, we've not. Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Hopefully, Sonny makes this movie, Kings of South Beach. Nobody gets hurt on the set, thank God.
Thank God. We'll be right back. You did it perfect. God damn. You're a good mimic.
Thank God.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.